we're talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And one thing we want to do this morning, before we get too far into it, is we want to just go around and hear from each of you. And want to hear two things. I know, the terror, Tina. It's fine. It's as bad as it's going to get. Right? And one thing is, if you were here last night, just anything that kind of has settled in with you from last night, whether it's an insight or a question or just what's kind of landed a little bit this morning. And then if you, whether you were or not, what would you love to get from today? Like, what brought you here today? Because what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the creative potential. Like, where is it that insight and inspiration and creativity come from? We're going to be talking about the creative force. Like, what is it that brings that up? What is it that brings that through? About wisdom, because that's an aspect of this same thing. Like, where's that come from? What's behind that? And then our relationship with those things. Because it's all well and good knowing they exist, but our relationship with them has a lot to do with how much of an impact they have in the way we live our lives. Anything you want to add on that front, Mark?
I think that when you know there's a creative process you're a part of, and know that that can present itself with a new way of thinking, it's just really makes life much more relaxed. So yeah, I think that's, you said yeah. Most of what,
or
covered most of.
Hi, I'm Nita. Couple of things that I really took from yesterday that sort of surprised me and sort of showed me, I guess, what I maybe didn't understand as well as I thought I did. And it was when Mark said about we make up our emotions. For some reason, that just sounded really different to anything else I'd heard. And I think what it pointed to was the fact that I do sometimes, probably more than sometimes, still think that I don't make up my emotions, that they kind of just come from somewhere. And that's when I'm thinking that something is really real. That's probably what it feels like. So it was just another a way of looking at it, which was great. And then also what you were saying, Michael, about when you kept saying, well, given that, I'm shy. And I was sitting there going, oh, I still do that all the time. Given that, you know, like, given that I've flown all this way and I'm jet lagged. Well, am I? I don't know that I am, really. You know, I've just made that up.
Yeah. So you were that, wide awake at dinner.
Yeah, I was fine. So it was fabulous just to hear those two things. And, you know, I woke up this morning thinking about last night, and that's what really stayed with me. So thank you for that. And what I would like to get from today is everything that you said at the beginning about what we're going to cover. So thank you.
Well, that's handy. Great, thank you. You just pass it on. We'll just go.
Hi, my name is Liz, and I'm super nervous. This is my very first time here. Sorry, I don't mean to stand with the back. So what I got from last night is when Michael said about people call you a name when you're born and when you're a kid and your parents give you a name and then you think that's who you are or tell you who you are and or tell you certain characteristics and that sticks with you and you figure, well, okay, that's who I am. And so all these things are me and they're really not me. It's just somebody else telling me who I am. And so I was thinking I have three dogs and one of them is a knucklehead, so I just realized that whenever I call my dog any name, it just comes. I don't have to call him his name. The dog does not care if it has a name or not on what I call it. It still knows it's a dog, right? So why is it that I associate whatever other people say with me, like what I am? That's what I got out of last night. And what I really would like to get out of today is getting up in the morning and just knowing intrinsically that all is good without having to listen to Michael's book a million times a day to know all is good, which I love listening to. It gets my day started and gets me going, but how about I do it for myself? So, thank you.
Do you remember the movie The Jerk, Steve Martin's dog? Come here, shithead. Come on, shithead. Good boy. Shithead! Come on. Christine.
Hi, I'm Christine. I wasn't here last night, but I always get to come here, and I always thank Michael when he can offer these to everybody else aside from Supercoach. So today I'm open to receiving and just sharing and just getting deeper in my understanding. So thank you.
Great. Thanks. Teresa.
Hi, I'm Teresa. Last night, this, I don't know if you can see the up and down thing on the Michael's great drawing, of course. That really is kind of why I came, because I feel like I'm the only one in the world who goes through, oh, I understand, I get it. Oh, I have no clue what this is all about. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I get it. And usually that corresponds with being here. So when I'm in the room with the people like this, it's like, well, of course, duh. But when I'm at home, it's as far away as it could possibly be. So I'd like to even that out a little bit and kind of remember this stuff when I'm at home. And I'm like you, I'm listening to audios or reading books or whatever all the time. Mm-hmm. And it helps, but then it seems like real life takes me away from this. Yeah. And I'm here, I flew all the way from Reno because I like the feeling in the room.
Cool. My name is Karen, and I have this really big fear of public speaking. So I don't.
Just kidding.
I just had to say that in case it was true.
Just cover all bases.
Yeah, but I'm good. I think what I came here for is to help myself get more anchored in the moment of creativity that is so spontaneous and always available to us, but we put up so many obstacles, I think, or at least I do, telling myself, I don't know what to do, or I'm not creative, or I think I'll just zone out for a while instead of think about this, or I'll think about it, and that's the problem. So anyway, I'm just here for something, whatever.
Cool.
Thank you.
We can deliver on that.
Yeah. There will be something.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Gina. So last night, things just really deepened for me, and almost like I had insights on insights I've already have, and it took those insights even deeper into my knowing, and that was a really great feeling. And the diagram that you did there, Michael, I always feel like, so I'm on this line and get insights, and I didn't really realize that I'm at a different level. So understanding that I'm continuing to go up a level was really important for me. And it sort of seems small, but for me it just seemed big last night. Mm. So today I'm actually looking to sort of take my business in some new directions, and I feel really inspired, and I just want to just get deeper in sort of the of knowing who I am and what I can bring into the world going forward.
Great. Wonderful. I remember going up to Le Conner with a friend to do intensives with the Pranskys, and we came out at lunch, and he's like, so I'm a level 142. Where are you at? So now I'm at 141, but I'm going to skip right up to 148 later.
Hi, I'm Ian. I'm Mark Howard's son, and I always,
yeah.
It's funny because I do enjoy, I really enjoy seeing him and Michael speak. It's just great, you know. I think one thing for me is that I've been hearing this throughout my life, and I think what's so amazing about it, and why I come back and just love hearing anyone speak about it, is because I tend to see things on a different angle. Last night I heard the word love, and initially I heard it through this real love, that word. But then I really felt it and saw it differently, you know. And through that, it really opened up Michael's graph, you know, because I think sometimes when I first started hearing about levels, I used to think of it like video games. And, you know, I still play video games once in a while, but as a kid, I played them an awful lot. And I used to see them as you're going up levels and there's other people that aren't on this level, you're on the level, you know, but it really isn't that. It's more that you're just kind of all moving. And there's no judgment in the level you're at or where you're at in that moment. So I just, that's what I got. And today I just hoping like everyone else to just kind of deepen that. Every time get a little deeper in that non-judgmental state.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, that's my son. He just passed his marriage family therapist license. So. Well, now we're going to get a van and roam the streets, Howard and son.
Sir, you look unhappy. Come this way.
Hello, my name is Barbara. Karen stole my line, so can't use that one. But we do have till 5, and I'm not shy. So, actually, I just had finished Wayne Dyer's series, Excuses Be Gone. And one of the things he teaches in there is to come up with a mantra. And the mantra he suggested is, what you want is already here. You just haven't connected with it yet. And I realized from hearing you last night that I don't need the last part of it anymore. You know, it's already here. So that was like a real big aha moment for me, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
Great.
My name's Tina. And what I got last night the most were two things. When Mark talked about the costume and character.
Yeah.
When I get stuck, I have to remember it's a character I'm creating that I can always change it at any given time. And then you talked about self a lot in that roller coaster.
Yeah.
So I've learned that I got to remove myself or get rid of self for a minute and reconnect with that. So that's what. And today I just want to continue the journey and continue to grow.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, I'm Lori. I was here last night. And what I got from last night was there really isn't anything to do or to be done. And I think I'd really just like to spend more time in that, like really knowing that there is nothing to be done. So, thanks.
Great.
Hi, I'm Caroline. I was here last night as well. I think what I got is just the simplicity of it. So I think I just want to explore that more.
Yeah, great.
Hi, I'm Renata. I wasn't here last night, and I want to know about that graph today.
Yeah. Oh, the secret That's graph. Yeah. You'll have to wait for the video.
No, actually, I'm very interested in the principles and in the concept of creativity, so I just want to get deeper into that today.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gary, and I actually have no idea what I am going to, and that's what makes it so exciting for me, because I have no clue what's going to be done here today, so.
Tally-ho. I'm Jay, and Gary, you have a great radio voice.
You
do voice.
You know, I almost went there. I was thinking, damn it, he's got a better radio voice than me.
You have a great radio. I'll get into my radio voice, too. I'm here for a couple reasons. One is for me, and one is for the people I care for. I'm here for my own personal awareness, and if I can use the word growth, awareness, I think. And last night was the beginning of opening of some of that awareness. But I'm also a breast cancer surgeon. And as a breast cancer surgeon, fully involved all the way in the journey with my patients, I'm also their advocate and their coach. And emotionally, this is a very, very difficult time for patients. And so coming away, frankly, with some tidbits that can be helpful to my patients is important to me. So.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Rita, and I was here last night, too. And I think the big aha for me really was the self-improvement has always been kind of my life thing. I'm kind of like Michael. I didn't have 13,000 books or whatever you had, but, you know, a lot. But I realized not only had I been on a journey to fix myself, I'd been on a journey to fix everybody else I knew, you know, including my children and my friends and everyone else, and I don't need to do any of that, which is a wonderful revelation that we are just enough, just the way we are. Today, I attended a Thrive workshop probably 2 or 3 years ago now. And today, the part that I would really like to cut, there was a big change, a big shift for me after that in terms of the creativity that I was able to allow once I stopped all the chatter. So that has been such a gift that I'm here just to kind of learn more and think some more about that.
Great.
Because I was still struck that thing you said about the innocence out of the whole night that stuck with me. And I just thought about how just sometimes I just forget to be kind, well, to myself, to others. And I that got me thinking about how gentle this all is. That whatever this is, this work, this philosophy, it's just gentle and kind. And I get reminded that life is not a battle. There are battles in life. Yeah. And I think I'm beginning to need to be reminded less and less. What's up for me that I want to be looking at? Two things that I'm looking at. One has to do with possibility. And it came up around something I want to do that takes some money. And I don't have it. I only know where to look, where I can look, and a conversation with Sarah about it. And I'm getting that possibility is kind of more like that thing that was over on that side. It still has to do with what I know and what I can figure out. And if it's impossible, then it's just impossible.
Right.
But if it's possible at all, then either I can do it or I train and I climb Mount Everest, but it's within a grasp, yeah. But I can see it. And I think it's not that anymore. What it is, I don't know. What I think I've gotten a glimpse of is that maybe it's that thing that's in that space when there's no you, there's no me. What's there is possibility. Maybe, I don't know. The other thing, creatively, because this I'm in a very creative stretch right now, and I have a sense of being open to mind, and I am in the Living from Mind group, and it's been extremely powerful in beginning to understand that everything is always there. I'm checking in or out. I'm opening or I'm closing. But it is always there for me to open to. I'm looking for, I kind of want to step up my game. Because I've been writing on the Living from Mind page, and we're going to be done. And nobody's going to be telling me what to write about every week anymore. So I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm looking for a context, because I take pictures too. I'm looking for a context for it that isn't about business and isn't necessarily, I mean, I want to share, but it's not necessarily about look at what I did. And I think it might, because I watched a couple of your videos that were on the 3P site, and you talked a lot about service. Michael talks about service, too. And I'm wondering if, because that's not a part of my life where service has ever been a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it might have something to do with that, with like what I'm doing it for. I'm kind of getting a sense of where I'm doing it from, but I don't know what I'm doing it for. So that's it.
Thank you.
This is Steph on the virtual track.
Hi, Steph.
He says, "Hi, guys. Last night I really enjoyed hearing Michael and Mark talk about the formless and form dynamic. I don't know why, but I always want to hear more about this, so I was wondering if we could explore a little more at some point today."
Yeah. We'll explore a lot more, actually, today. About that. We've stalled long enough. You're on.
You know, Are we saying what we got from last night, or you just want to go on with?
Oh, no, I was thinking we teach, but I mean,
I see.
Start teaching by saying what you got from last night if
I'll
you
start
want.
Teaching from there.
I mean, you were taking go around the room literally.
No, I don't know. I'm stalling for time. I'm not getting anything. So, no. It struck me, this innocent thing that I shared, and maybe I'll talk a bit there, because it, to me, it fits into the levels idea. And it isn't, innocence really is an understanding, and we call it innocence, but it's an understanding that when you move a level of consciousness, you can't use what you see there against yourself when you were at a lower level of consciousness. That's really the point of it. So, I don't know. So let's say, this is all made up, but let's say you're at this level where you're bothered. You're bothered, angry, worried. And you act from that level of consciousness. Maybe you are rude to people. You yell or get in arguments. And then you get, you get some understanding. So maybe you say, oh, wait a minute. That's just my thinking. It went south. So then you come up a level and maybe you're peaceful, understanding. You can't use this against yourself for being there. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of innocence. Because you can't do anything more in life except live at the level of consciousness you're at. You can't do anything more than that. And, I grew up thinking or being taught the belief that you should. Even though you can't, you should. So not only can't you do it, but now you've got the added layer that even though you can't do it, you should. And that was tough. But the important thing to see for me around this point is you as a human being creating your experience of life through the principles, the level of consciousness you're at is how you're going to, that's how you're going to be until a level shifts. And when a level shifts, you'll have new thinking and you live at that level. You'll see the level you were at. You'll see that. But you'll have to see it with the understanding, and this is the piece of innocence, the understanding that you couldn't do more than what you were thinking. And you can't do that at any level of consciousness. You can't do any more than the thinking that exists at that level. So if you're at this level, and you're not going to be able to see at that time a higher level. So maybe at the higher level you have, maybe you have creativity, wisdom. But when you're at this level, you're not going to see that. When you're at this level, you can't see peacefulness and calmness and understanding for people. But you can see the lower level you are at. And it's really easy to then judge yourself for that. Now you see something that you hadn't seen before. Why couldn't I have seen it? If you learn to live with the understanding that as we are part of these principles, we cannot do more than the level at which we're thinking, our level of consciousness, then you could welcome seeing more. An example for me is I think every time I drive home from my day at the office when I'm coaching practitioners in the principles or seeing clients, when I drive home, I see more that I could have done. Now, I welcome that because, I have you know, come to a higher level of consciousness than where I was when I was working, which is at a really nice level, but I just start to see more. Earlier in my career, I would use that against me. Oh, man, you missed that again, you know, or you should have gone in this direction. But I want you to see that that doesn't make any sense if you understand that, given the principles, you can only act in life the way you're seeing it at that moment through thought. And we have infinite levels of consciousness, infinite levels. And there are levels lower than this. You know, there are levels with people that are so fearful of life or don't even think they're anything. And all you can do is live from there until you raise a level of consciousness or a level of understanding. And so that's what I meant by innocence. I want you to see that because it has nothing, innocence that I mentioned has nothing to do with your behavior. It has nothing to do about whether your behavior is innocent or not, whether that, it has to do with your understanding of your, of how you operate in life, how you create an experience for yourself. And that's all that meant. So I just want to, I wanted to clarify that for you and tie it in with levels because you must see this in your own life. When you get caught up and have a difficult day and maybe think your work is really hard, you're looking for a new job, and the next day you shift and you go in and you love your job. You know, we're all like that. Our levels of consciousness are moving. And you want to see that that's all you can do is call your life at the level at which you're thinking now. And when you get to a higher level, then you live there. You don't want to begin to judge yourself for not being there yesterday. So did that make sense? Is that helpful?
What did you mean by call your life?
Yeah, well, call your life. I just meant, what did I mean? You're just living life. You're just doing your life at the level of your thinking. I said call it, but you're just standing in your life at that moment, living it all you can live, given the level of thinking you're in. So, what we wanted to do, do you want to go ahead with the principles?
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do then is let's lay a foundation. Yeah. That's what Michael and I want to do. Kind of lay a foundation for our footing to move into the topic of creativity and insights and realizations. And let's lay the foundation by talking about the principles. What are the principles? What are these principles we're talking about? When I talk about them, I talk about them in the fact that I see hope in the principles. When I come back and kind of look at each principle, to me, they're very hopeful for humankind. They're hopeful for me. So I'll take a shot and then you come in, okay?
Yeah.
So, we are all part of a spiritual energy. Spiritual in the sense that it's formless, and it exists before any kind of physical form. It exists before this universe. It's actually the energy of life. A colleague of ours just started writing about, wrote a nice blog about this, and she taught at a university medical school, and she would talk to doctors and said, you know the difference between a cadaver and somebody who's alive? And they go, yeah, they have life in them. So she kind of says that in terms of that's the spiritual energy. People have life in them. But the other part to that is there's an intelligence. It's the intelligence of the universe. So that's mind. Mind is the energy, the formless energy in the universe, the intelligence in the universe. And we are all part of that. We are mind ourselves. Every one of us is mind in this form. Every one of us is a spiritual energy. Every one of us has the intelligence of the universe in them. So what's hopeful for me, I'm kind of separating these principles and talking about them like a thing, but really they're formless. You can't get your intellect around them. But to try to talk about them, I'm going to use my words to talk about them and my ideas. But they're my ideas. And they're just a nice way to get a feel for the principle. So what's hopeful for me about mind, I mentioned it last night, in my work as a psychologist, what really, touched me about it was to see that people who I had seen as limited because of a psychiatric diagnosis, who could only maybe get so far in my mind thinking, given the maybe a severe diagnosis, were mind. They were mind as I was. That meant, despite what they were thinking, they had the intelligence of the universe in them. I was actually connected to them because I'm mind and they're mind. And that shifted me completely. I didn't look at them anymore as a diagnosis. It's so limiting, isn't it? I mean, my goodness, you're looking at some diagnosis of a person's behavior and they're the spiritual energy of the universe. I mean, that diagnosis is so limiting. So that really changed the way I am with people. And I always see them in the sense that they could probably get an insight about the principles or a spiritual insight beyond me. So I'm just there to kind of guide now. So that's the hopeful piece. The other hopeful piece, and that's what we're going to be speaking to together, is that you have this intelligence that will assist you in life. It will give you what you need. And when I first heard that, I relaxed. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that. I couldn't figure that out. What do you mean there's an intelligence assisting me? But I knew it rang true, and I could relax about having to control my life. And this is really true. I've seen it time and time again in my life, in every area, and in my clients' lives, and in my colleagues' lives. It will assist you in anything you're doing. Like right now, I'm calling on it, honestly, to guide me through this presentation, you know. I didn't want Mark Howard to be, you know, doing the presentation. I want something greater than me. It's assisting me. I let it help me share this with you. But it'll assist me in being a parent. It'll assist me in being a clinician. And that's a wonderful thing to see, even if you don't understand it, to know that there is that you are really connected to an intelligence that will guide you through life to be happy and content and have love and wisdom. So that's mind, the spiritual energy of life, the intelligence behind the universe. Remember, you're not going to get your head around this. You're just looking for a feeling for it. So here's this formless energy, and it's manifesting every moment. And it manifests through a process, through a creative energy we have, which we call thought, to create for ourselves a reality we live in through our thinking. That actual creative energy is formless. And what we put into it with our thinking, that brings it to life as a reality we live in moment to moment. It's how we see life comes through the fact that we have thought that allows us to, that allows the energy of mind to be created and manifest into our reality, our way of looking at life. So I didn't know this. All my training did not point me to the fact that my clients or I were creating the experience we were having. It looks so much to me, and it does, because you can't see this form. You will never find the thought you've created that's given you the experience. You won't see it. It's formless. It's a formless creation. But I thought, given once I got in the reality, I thought it was coming from the outside. I thought it was my colleagues, my wife, my job. That's what it looked like. That's how I was taught to look. So this was a great wake-up call for me, in the sense that it was as simple for me. It looked simple that I, through thought, was creating my experience. Whatever it is, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm experiencing is coming through me, through this power we have to think. Now, what's hopeful about this for me is that we can realize this. We can get an insight into the fact that we think. Not our thinking. Everybody can pick out their thinking. There's a lot of cognitive behavioral techniques to handle all the thinking you've created. And that'll get you even more thinking to deal with. We're pointing before that's created, that you have this energy to create that. And that's all we need to know. See, we don't need to do anything with what's been created. We don't. Once you come back and realize, oh my God, I created that, you have already shifted. Your level of understanding has already shifted with that insight, that little insight. You see? So that what was so hopeful for me was that, oh man, I no longer had to give people techniques or have them explore a past or emotions look at their thinking and write journals while they're there of their thinking. We had this one technique. I tell you about my techniques that I just kind of like, oh man, now that I tell them, it's like, how could I have ever thought of doing this?
Did you give them candy if they...
there was this thought-stopping technique. And what you do is you have a rubber band on your wrist, huh? You get a bad thought, bam, you know. Sometimes my wrist is really scarred, you know. Bad thought, bam, you know. So isn't it beautiful to not have to do all of that, not have to worry about all of that? All you have to do is come back inside the theme of Michael's book, but you look inside to a fact that you think. You don't look into your thinking. So that looking inside is really to no form, huh? It's just a way to talk about coming back to this principle of thought. I consult with a group of nurse managers, four of them, in a maternity ward at a local hospital back in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they asked me to come in and talk about the principles because they were having a very difficult time managing their staff. And one of the things they shared about the principles, how much they're being able to get a realization, another recognition that, the way they were experiencing their staff was coming through thought, help them take a break and try to look from another angle, another level of understanding, and how that helped them, that one piece, from being judgmental about their staff or seeing their staff as troublesome. They saw that was just how they were looking at it through this power we have to think any way we want to think. And they said it helped them tremendously to, again, be in there and remember, oh my God, it's coming through thought. That allowed them to, they found that they could take a break from that and then they'd get another way of looking at it. And that helped them have understanding. They called it understanding for themselves, but also for their staff. Because why? They're doing the same thing. So their staff, when they were being difficult from thoughts they were creating themselves. Maybe insecure thoughts. Maybe they were worried. Maybe they were troubled. So the nurse manager started to think this way about their staff. And they had more understanding and compassion, and the climate got more positive, and the whole thing started to shift around. It was so powerful. I just wanted to share this, the power of this. I met with the head of this hospital to talk about bringing the principles to his board. And we brought the nurse managers with us, so they could tell the story. So we make a presentation, and then they tell the story. The feeling in the room of their telling the story, of their understanding, the feeling in the room was so deep that it moved the head of the hospital. So their understanding of the role of the principals shifted them as people and then as managers into being able to share a change in a whole ward to a more positive climate. And this, and they could share from the feeling of that, the human feeling of getting touched by getting in touch with the principles. So we can recognize where our experience is coming from. That's a beautiful thing. That's what's so hopeful for me. Where our experience is coming from. And then consciousness is really just awareness. It gives an awareness of what you've created through thought. One way to look at consciousness is that it brings all of you, all of the senses you have to bear, to respond to what you've created through this power you have to think. So really, one way to look at the effect of consciousness is that all of you responds immediately to thought. Thought is what starts the whole process. And that means physiology, that means chemistry, that means feelings. All are a reaction to thought, to the power you have to think and create. Once you create, consciousness brings everything to life for you. So no wonder it looks real, right? No wonder what you're thinking about your partner looks real. It just feels real, doesn't it? It feels real. Everything about you is saying, yeah, the way you're calling it is right, you know. The trouble is in a relationship, the other person is thinking the same thing, you know? So you got both people thinking they're calling it right. So that usually doesn't end well. But that's, so it's like, you know, you're watching a movie and thought gets you into the movie, it gives you the experience of the movie, and consciousness makes you forget that you're even watching a movie. But you will create it your way. It'll be created in your experience of the movie. I'll never forget, we went with a couple to see Groundhog Day. And my wife and I are feeling, oh man, this is so warm. It's such a warm movie, you know. It's like so loving. I just, you know, and really enjoying it. So we leave with the couple and said, man, wasn't that a loving, warm movie? I said, what are you talking about? That was terrible, you know. What was he doing, you know? So they had the full experience of the same movie only according to the way they thought about it. So the hopefulness of consciousness is what Michael was talking about, that you can get an insight that there are infinite levels of understanding that you can reach, a conscious awareness of what you created. There are infinite levels of seeing the principles and the manifestations of the principles, your understanding of the principle. When you've had a shift in your understanding, thought and consciousness have worked together to give you a completely different experience now of your life. See, before I knew this, here's the hope, and then we'll hear what you have to say, but here's the hope of that, and that, see, I've been married with my wife like 42 years, and when we were first married, we had a good relationship, but you know, not knowing what we truly were, I kept thinking in ways of, well, you know, this marriage could get better if she could take a look at some of these issues, you know, or some of these things that are making me bother, huh? So I was kind of like the Terminator with that eye. Calculating,
yeah.
She would show up, and you know, but what the hope was in seeing this was that I could see her, I could in the rest of my life is a journey to get to know her, and this is what I mean by that. It's about coming to another level of consciousness where my thought is not interfering with the humanness of that person. It's again, with another level of consciousness, another veil of thinking gets removed, and I could see the person more. Truly get a feel for the humanness of that person. See? That's the hope. And the beauty of that is when you look at another person, whether it's a coworker, a colleague, any human being in your life, when you look with that understanding, they feel that. They feel that. That's what they're looking for. They want understanding. When you look with that understanding, you have infinite levels at which to see another human being. And that's love. That's what I would say is love. That's the deepening of a relationship. And that's the hope of consciousness, that this is just played out in a relationship, but the hope of consciousness is that for you, you can always, there's always more for you to see about the principles. You know, Sydney Banks was walking with us one day after a meeting. Sydney Banks, again, is the person who had the spiritual insight that brought the principles. And he turned to us and said, you know, you just have a glimpse of what these principles are. You see, so just what I've shared with you, that's just a very limited glimpse of what you can see, and it's like infinite knowledge available to you. And that's what we're going to speak to, how to tap into the infinite knowledge you have within you. Because you are the principle. You are the principle. And Kathy Casey, a colleague of ours, said to say, well, thank God I got the glimpse. I mean, just a glimpse of this. I've become the happiest person I've known, you know, just with a glimpse. She said, I can hardly wait to see what's beyond the glimpse, you know. So those are the principles. Mind is the energy, the spiritual energy of the universe, the intelligence behind the universe, the life-giving energy in the universe. Thought is the creative factor, allowing mind to manifest into a human experience, into a living experience. I mean, every living creature has thought. And consciousness allows you to be aware of what you created and to have understanding for that. Did you want to add to that? Share anything?
Yeah, sure. It's funny you went Groundhog Day. I was going Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You're thinking the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Right, if you remember, right at the end of Ghostbusters, there's an opening in some vortex. I don't remember the details. But they say, you know, don't think about anything because whatever you think about is going to manifest. So that's like consciousness. There's a field. And that field is always present. It doesn't matter what gets put into it. It brings it into being. And so Dan Aykroyd thinks about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, which always comforted him as a child. But I don't think he probably imagined it 40 feet tall and destroying the streets of New York. And it manifested. And yeah. It was like that's the whole system in action. Is a thought comes to mind. And then that thought manifests in a way that is so real to us that we start interacting with what has just been created. We start living inside the reality that has just been created through this power. And that's when we start to get lost, because we then try to get better at that. We try to get better at maneuvering inside of what just got made up through the principles. Instead of, and this is just another thing that starts to occur if you see this as how it works, making space for something new to get made up. Because it will. The principles are always in action. The formless is always coming into form in different ways. Something is always coming from nothing. But it's just that we, if we don't have some understanding of this, we think we have to deal with the something that is there now. We think that's where we have to make our stand. That's never where you have to make your stand. There's always going to be something else that comes along, and we just won't notice it if we're busy inside the thing that just came. So for me, the power of principles, of fundamental truths. You know, Einstein had a great line that everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. That when we look at the world at the most fundamental building blocks, we can see whatever experience we're having, whatever experience we want to have, is always going to be made up of the same three things. Always. So if we can see more about that, about those three things and how they, what they are and how they interact to create experience, that gives us insight into everything. If I know what's going on behind the scenes, right? The Wizard of Oz, right? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Right, live in awe of the great and powerful Oz. What's that, Toto? You know, right? We go behind the curtain, and it's just this guy with a bunch of cranks and levers creating illusions. And if we know that, we're never going to be scared of the illusion in the same way. We can still appreciate it. We can forget from time to time and get scared of it again. But you never go, it's different going back down when you've been up. It's different forgetting once there's something to forget. Because you never quite completely forget. I always remember the it's funny, both of us have now done this. We've started sentence with, I'll always remember or I'll never forget, and then got stuck. But there was a movie, Arachnophobia. And it turns out it was a comedy, apparently. Well, I never got far enough to find that out. I spent that movie in the lobby waiting for Neen, for my wife, because she thought it was great. And she came out, it was a comedy, really. Because I got like a minute in, and it was so real to me that I had to leave. Well, yeah. That's life. Except that it's worse because we don't get to go to the lobby. Right? So we take drugs. Or we tune out. Or we find whatever coping strategy we find. We shut down. Because there's no lobby. It's because it's not a movie in our minds. And I think for me, what the danger of this conversation, and I use danger advisedly, right? But the danger of this conversation is that we can't even begin to do justice to the power of what we're talking about. So it sounds kind of neat. Oh, it's like a movie. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But that's why when the shit hits the fan and we are stressed to the gills because of what's going on in our world, or we are completely stuck with a deadline, or we absolutely cannot get out of our situation because we have breast cancer, because we have a bankruptcy looming, because we have an eviction coming, because we have whatever it is that we think is coming, that couldn't possibly be those principles. Those are just like a movie. This is real. That's the problem with metaphor. Much as metaphor, I love it, and it's a great way to point to something. It isn't a movie. It is reality. Reality is made of thought. Thought is so much more powerful than however powerful you can imagine it to be. This is the power of the universe. This is the creative force. Now, like the wind, when it blows gently, it's actually quite refreshing. But when it blows, if you don't know that the nature of the wind is to blow and then to die down, it's terrifying. And the problem is what we do to cope with it when we don't know that it will take care of itself, that there's a larger force of nature, that there's an intelligence behind the system, a universal mind, a spiritual energy that's got this one. You know, doesn't need our help telling it when the wind should die down. It's part of a larger unfolding. And this, for me, you talk about where you find the hope. This is one of the places I find the hope. We can not only understand that, which saves us a world of hurt and lets us navigate the world with a lot more grace than maybe we were able to before we understood this, but we can also let it work through us. We can also let it unfold in our lives as it's unfolding all around us. And what can then get created when we are working in harmony with it is so beautiful. Because it has the flavor. You know, it's God flavored, it's love flavored, it's life flavored. And so if it's music, it's life flavored music. It's love-flavored music. If it's a movie, it's a love-flavored movie. If it's a relationship, it's got that flavor of where it came from. Right? That's the thing about wine. I've got a friend who's a real... winey is good, wino is bad. He's a real... Whatever the good thing where you really know a lot about wine, but you don't drink so much that you've got an issue. He's a real that. Right? And he has explained to me, you know, can you taste the soil? Can you taste what you're tasting there is the cherries that grow in that same soil that have, the blossoms that have decayed, and that goes in and that informs the soil. So when you drink the wine, you're actually tasting the soil in which the grapes were grown. You're not just tasting the grapes. Well, when this deeper mind is the soil in which our ideas are grown, our creative impulses are grown, you can taste that. You can feel that. And there's something universal. Now, again, people can miss it, right? I can drink wine, especially before I was brought to my attention. And I wouldn't have been able to tell you what was in it. And I, you know, $50 wine, $2 wine. Well, I remember the day that I tasted wine that was so good, I couldn't not notice. It overrode my thinking that wine is wine. Right? And it was a New Year's gig. It was up in this restaurant called Del Bafo up near you. I don't know if it's still there. And it was a Christmas party. My brother was part of the dot-com thing. So, you know, there was a lot of money being thrown around. And, you know, we were students, my wife and I, and we'd come out. So this was just like, you know. And I noticed it was a Christmas party, about 15 people at the table, and there was this Jeroboam of wine, this giant bottle of wine being poured around. And I said to Neen, we were on this side of the table. They started pouring over there. You seeing what I'm saying? As soon as the wine came around, people got quiet. Like, it was a very buzzy conversation, and it just got quiet. And we're like, all right, that's weird. You know, because, like, if we spent $5 on a bottle of wine, we were splashing out, you know? And it came around to us. We're like, and I swear to God, this wine had three separate, distinct flavors. It had a first flavor that was like apples. And I knew nothing about wine, right? It had this second flavor that was like eating a meal, like a steak dinner. And then it had this, what I now know is called a finish, but a third flavor, which was like dessert. It's chocolatey. And I'm sitting there simultaneously having a religious experience with this glass of wine and thinking, oh shit, this has ruined me because I can tell now. Well, that's the problem and the gift of this understanding. You will never taste such beautiful wine in your life as when you start to experience more of this spiritual energy coming through you and coming through everything that you do. And it will kind of ruin you for all the empty, thought-created forms that get thrown out all around us. That's good. I got the warning in before we went too far. Normally, like, we do the whole thing, and then at the end it's like, and now a warning. It's like, now? I've taken the pill. Right? As you start to get an appreciation for the richness of these principles, the pervasiveness, there's nothing outside. There's nothing that isn't made up of these three energies, these three forces. It has been in my life the most beautiful thing that I have come across. And kind of like you were saying about, you then kind of look at what you were doing. And it's kind of like, wow, I wish I'd known. Now I can see the innocence of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wish I'd known.
That doesn't take you down, though. It doesn't take you
down.
No,
but it's just an awareness, you know. I was being interviewed about a month ago for a show, and this woman asked me, I was a depressed, really depressed teen. So depressed it couldn't have been thought. Yeah, right? Right. But of course that did lead me in a direction. It led me to search for what I eventually found. And so the woman interviewing me said, Do you look back on your depression as a gift? I said, no, I really don't. It was fucking awful. But I'm incredibly grateful for what came out of it. And that's the thing, right? That's when I look to innocence. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm glad it happened. Mm-hmm. It's that it's really okay. It's really, really, really okay. It's not sort of okay. It's not I'm making the best of it. Right? For me, one of the big... I guess it was an insight, but like one of the big things I saw early on in my exploration of this was the difference between the forgiveness that came from an understanding of mind and how the mind works and this creative potential and what I was trying to do as forgiveness. So in my forgiveness, you know, forgiveness 1.0, you know, there were these real things that had happened to me. I had a choice about whether to make them okay or not. And it made some difference to make them okay, but not that much. And I didn't understand this power of forgiveness thing that seemed to be very important to some people. I thought, oh, well, that's okay. You know, that's them. I'm different. Well, then I started to see that what I was looking to forgive, the experience of it had been created through thought. Not that I did it to myself, right? Stuff had happened in my life, but my experience of that was generated from the inside. And I started to think, well, how can I forgive you for that? Like, what, that doesn't even seem like a real equation. How can I forgive life for what it did to me? How is that a real conversation if my experience was actually just a transient experience of thought brought to life in the moment? And then I saw that forgiveness, and this is just a way of using the word, I'm not saying this is what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is like it never happened. Forgiveness is, I'm back in the infinite potential. I'm back in the formless. I'm back in the space I was in before that experience came into form. I'm back to that space of infinite possibility, that pure potential of mind, of this infinite energy. That was a whole other thing. That wasn't about anybody else. And that wasn't even about, that wasn't like about me being a good person or the kind of person who forgives. That was about coming home to reality, to a deeper reality, to this as yet unformed potential out of which all experience comes via thought. And then it's just, right, then back into which everything goes. Like, Where's your anger when it's past? You know, where's your sadness when it's past? Where's your elation when it's past? Where's your gratitude when it's past? It comes into form. We experience it, and then it's like it never happened. That's not a problem. That's the design. That's the nature of thought. It brings this energy into form. And then when the form is gone, that thought returns to the infinite potential. It's not like bits of it are stored. Oh, that, you know, I can look out into the field of pure possibility and see that grain of energy that was part of that experience and that bit over there and reassemble it. I can do that in thought. But it's back in the whole. It's completely dissolved.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? We look for solutions to problems that look real. But the problems that exist, because they've been created from thought, they dissolve. They return back to the potential. Nothing needs to be done with them because they had no form beyond the thought that created them. That's my hope for humanity, right? That's where I look and go, holy fucking mother of God, this is kind of cool.
Man, yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Like, there's really nothing. Yeah. It's just a moment. Yeah. You're just creating something in the moment, and then, okay, well, why even worry about that? That's gone. It'll be gone. You know, I have a funny story that I share from time to time about thought, and then maybe we take a break.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So I had, this is really cute. I mean, I had, I think you've heard me share this, but this 85-year-old woman comes to see me, and she's been depressed 25 years. She said, You know, I'm healthy and all, but I know I'm getting close to, you know, a few years left, and I want them to be happy. So that's why I'm here. So I said, great, let's start talking. And 6 sessions go by. I'm talking to her about the principles, you know, giving it all my best. It's going nowhere. So I finally got frustrated. And I said something like, Mabel, look, Mabel, are you ever happy? And she said, yeah. I said, oh, really? You're happy? When? She said, when I wake up. So I said, now, when you wake up, you're happy. Yeah. Well, what happens to it? She said, by the time my feet hit the slippers, I remember I'm depressed. That's it, you see? I remember I have no friends. I remember I was a bad wife. There's the power of thought. Now, once she said that, we had it. We had it. And, you know, and she started to say, oh, my God, I'm just making it up again, aren't I? Yeah, you're just, actually, I didn't know this fit. But you're just like Groundhog Day. Oh, my God, I didn't know how that fit. But she was doing Groundhog Day every day through thought, living her reality of being a depressed person over and over again. But once she realized that, once she saw, oh, my God, I'm taking my happiness away by just remembering, which is thought. Yeah, that's all you're doing. And then she was like free and clear. She started to really move after that. That's interesting. But it cracked me up. I didn't know she was happy, you know, so I just kind of, are you ever happy? And she said, yeah. And then when my feet hit the slippers, I remember I'm depressed. I said, oh, Mabel, that's all you're doing, you know. So shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.